remember our ancestors, when we spend time with those memories, with those histories that brought us here to this moment, something inside of us changes. When we hold those histories close, when we tend to them, when we tend to their truth, not only the good parts, but the tough parts, something inside of us changes. As I was preparing for this sermon, or maybe as I should have been preparing for this sermon, and I was looking over Facebook, I was astounded by a conversation that I saw, a screenshot that someone put forward of a conversation on Facebook that they had had with somebody else, where they'd been looking at their ancestors, at the history of this country. And here's how the screenshot went. The first person said, "All people have rights and dignity." The second person responded, "But what do you mean by all people?" The first person came back, all people have rights and dignity." The second person returned, "But what do you mean? Do you mean criminals and people who are here illegally?" And it went on. "All people have rights and dignity." "But how can you say that? How can you say that in the next few lines? What do you mean exactly? And how do we live that in the world?" All people, everyone, every single person, all people, period. The service is about being all in for all people, all saints, all souls, all histories, all in. This land that we stand on now, that we sit on now, this land carries with it both blessings and curses, restrictions on freedoms, challenges to dignity, and increases in freedoms, affirmations of dignity, inclusion of all. We come to this point out of our past, out of this ancestry. What next? How do we incorporate this past into this present, into our hopes for the future? Okay, everybody, get out your Bibles. You brought them, right? Deuteronomy 30:19. "This day I call heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your descendants may live." Choose life. This is a season of ancestry, of looking back into the past, into that great darkness. But the past is never really past. It is constantly interacting with the present. Think of the ways that you use past moments to judge present ones. I know if I have had struggles in the past, places where I have failed, when I come to meet those same challenges in the present, a part of me says to myself again and again, "Oh, I can't do that. I've never been able to do that." Or if I have some success in my past, some moment of great awe, beauty, and joy, when I meet a circumstance that brings me to a similar place, I'll be much more open to the potential for beauty and joy in the present moment, because I've been there before. Think of the ways that the past constantly interacts with the present. Past blessings tell us of the future that we can create. That's why we honored the blessings of all those times, because it's those blessings that will allow us to meet this present with enough strength and energy to create that future that we yearn to create, that one that is stronger, bolder, and more beautiful than the present that we have right now. It's those blessings that shape the land, the very land that we stand upon, like those great mountains pressing up and changing this landscape for generations to come. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. If we're celebrating Halloween, ghouls and ghosts will be set before us. Skeletons, they might remind us of our mortality. Perhaps they will also remind us of the preciousness of every breath, every heartbeat. You see a skeleton? Say to yourself, all in. If we're celebrating the pagan time of Samhain, we will be reminded of the thin veil that separates life from death, the thin veil between the past, the present, the future. Perhaps we will also remember the tenderness of life, that life needs us to be all in for all that is good to survive. And if we're honoring our ancestors with a Day of the Dead celebration as it's practiced in Mexico, we will remember those that came before, and we will remember them in their fullness, remembering their struggles as well as their gifts. Is that how you want to be remembered, in your fullness? Do you want your children to know your struggles as well as your gifts? There are times when I don't want to be remembered that way, but there are other times when I know that that's the only way that I should be remembered, so that others will be able to learn from the mistakes that I made. And if we will speak the names of the saints on All Saints Day, where a parade of names announces the potential of every human to achieve greatness, perhaps then we will also choose life. This land that our congregation rests upon, it has been home to trauma as well as triumph. It has served the righteous as well as the ruthless. I was talking to Katie McKay before this service, and Katie mentioned, yeah, my mom's pretty cool. And I said, yeah, Katie, your parents, they're both really cool. And she said, well, sometimes they're not. But then she added, but all of us, even me, sometimes I'm not cool all the time. All right, Katie. So this history that we stand upon, sometimes it's not cool all the time. But that doesn't mean that we can't find greatness and beauty here. Our history, our ancestors, they're real, they are not ideal. We do not arrive at this place because of some perfect story, some perfecting of humanity, an onward and upward thrust of truth, goodness, and grace, as our Protestant forebears announced. We arrive here out of a postmodern, complex network of choices. We arrive here because we have sought to survive over generations, and because some of the choices that we made served life. Some of you have shared that you feel out of sorts with your neighbors, that you are actually indeed very happy right now, well adjusted. Bless you. I'm so glad you're here. I hear from a lot of us that we are feeling, and I admit I too am feeling deep in my bones, a disquiet, a disaffection with the antagonisms of the current partisan race and all of their shrill anger. And I feel a maladjustment to the race conscious embattlement that seems to move through our land and through our hearts, pitting us one against the other, whether it's black, blue, black, Asian, white, till we forget that we all have rights and dignity, until we forget that we're all in this together. And I am filled with an ache when I pause to consider the life of that child that is trying to survive right now in Aleppo, a child that has never known what it feels to be in a place of peace. At times I feel my own temperature rise with an alien quickness, the ghoul that you were speaking of in that chalice song, that ghoul that I'd rather not meet in the mirror is looking right back at me, and it's ready to thrash out and put someone in his or her place. And the skeleton bound by my flesh shivers in the cold of these days. A cold that asks, but what do you mean by all? There are times that I do not feel like myself, and times when I don't like how I feel. Still, the petition rises. I have set before you blessings and curses. And these times, they may be tough, but they are not impossible. We who lived in concentration camps, says Viktor Frankl, can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Anything can be taken from us but that choice. I choose life. Honestly, I choose life with an awareness of the blessings and the curses that we stand upon as well as those that are in front of us. I choose life. How about you? Do you choose life? So may we all. Amen.